But today we're going to mainly be in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 7 through 18. This is hopefully is a really familiar passage to you. But this is one of those passages where I've drawn a lot of strength from this passage. When I've been in difficult circumstances, this passage has really been an encouragement to me. And so I kind of wanted to start our series there, and I'll talk a little bit more about the series in just a moment. But let's get together in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 18. 7 through 18. So if you can see there on the screen a little bit, you've got I quit. Anybody ever said I quit? I'll ask you a little bit more about that in a second. I will not quit is what we're going to try to encourage you about over the next few weeks. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning verse 7, the Word of God says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or made known in our body." Verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or known in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Verse 13, "We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I want to give you a little, help me out this morning just a little bit so we can stay engaged as we get started. What have you ever wanted to quit on? Give me an example of something you wanted to quit. Job. All right, we had a couple people that, amen. But like, I'm so tired of this job, I'm ready to quit, right? Esther? Okay, can I just quit worrying? I'm always worrying. Can I quit, right? That's one thing you might want to quit, right? What else is something that you probably shouldn't quit, but that you felt like you wanted to? Come on now, help me out. Michael. All right, perfect. All right, so you ever felt like you were tired of disciplining your kids and you're just going to let them take over the house? Amen, right? I give up, I quit. That first time, I remember Isaiah, he wanted these goldfish crackers and they were back in a bedroom and we told them no. And he was still going to go back there. And we had that battle. I think we battled like 6 different times before he finally, I beat him with my will. But I was this close to quitting. Right? All right. And relationships, even sometimes in marriage, you're like, I've tried everything. I've done everything I can. I've tried to please and serve. And it's just nothing. I'm not getting any feedback. I'm ready to quit. That's very common too, probably. Anything else? When have you felt like giving up? Like, I give up. Okay, I'm trying to make the right decision and nobody else seems to be doing this decision. Why is that? Michael. Yeah. Right. Yeah, like yesterday, Brother Todd and I, and Brother Todd did all the work. I just was mainly the watching guy there, and I would hand him a thing or two once on occasion. But when we put that new mower deck on that mower, and it still didn't work right, I was done. Let's quit. But Brother Todd has some pretty amazing skills. He's like, no, I can shorten these big pieces of metal. Isn't that amazing? Somebody can shorten pieces of metal by cutting them and welding them together, right? Yeah, I was ready to quit. Good. Mechanical stuff. I don't last very long. Okay, that's what oh, go ahead. Really good, Donna. Right. Yeah. When you want someone to come to Christ so badly, and you work and you pray and you invite, and they just seem so maybe disinterested, or you want to, it's like, I always have this conversation with a friend of mine in Illinois. We go out on visitation, and it's, don't take this the wrong way, but I almost kind of wanted to wrap my arms around them like, you need Jesus. Don't you see how much he loves you? And they're not going to come that way, are they, right? It has to be drawn by the Spirit, and then they have to submit. But sometimes after a while, you're just like, okay, I give up, right? Okay, well, what we're going to look over for the next few weeks is this idea when we're facing things that might cause us to quit. Most of what I'm going to be speaking to will be suffering. Wednesday night, we started the book of Job, and it was just an unbelievable reminder of what suffering can do to a person. And what kind of really shook me, and don't help me take this the right way. Please take this the right way, what I'm saying. But I knew people in our church family were hurting. But right there that night, just almost everybody at each table began to share things. And I began to realize it's not like one or two people. It's like just about everybody here is going through some really trying circumstances. And sometimes in our suffering, we just want to give up. Right? It can be physical pain or mental, emotional pain. A relationship struggle, just like, oh, I'm tired, I want to give up. So what I want to encourage you with is over probably about the next 6 weeks or so, 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to look at some different passages that I hope will help you see that there can be significance in suffering. There's a pastor, his name is John Piper, and I've always liked how he'd phrase this. He would say, don't waste your suffering. What do you mean by that, right? And his point is that oftentimes the Lord shows his glory the brightest when we're the weakest. Is that a biblical principle? Right? And we'll probably look at that passage that Paul shares in Corinthians in a couple of weeks too. But yeah, sometimes when we're the weakest, the Lord shines the strongest. And so I'm hoping to encourage you over the next few weeks to see some of those principles. Today, I want you to see probably one of the most powerful passages for me when I'm going through struggle, when I'm going through difficulty to figure out how do I navigate through this. And that's this passage here at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7 through 18. If you would, jump on down to verse 7. And the first section, we're going to talk about what it means to be jars of clay. When I was in high school, there was a really famous Christian group came out, and their name was Jars of Clay. And it comes from this very passage that we're reading right here. So look at verse 7. The Word of God says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God says he has placed treasure in clay pots. Are there any clay pots here today? What happens with a clay pot if it falls off the counter? It cracks, it breaks, and then you have to, in our day, you get out the super glue and you try to mend it back together, right? In the good old days, they had some different kinds of putty that they would try to do, and people would actually hold up pots to the light to see if there was any fractures in the pot, if there were any cracks in the pot. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of cracked pots here this morning, right? Anybody here perfect? No, right? We start thinking about it. Oh, boy, definitely, we're not. The Lord says he has placed this treasure in a clay pot, in this jar of clay. Why would you put treasure in a clay pot, right? You might think, well, maybe I'd disguise it, right? If I put my, you've seen the commercials where they take the Chex Mix and they stuff it in the potato chip bag so nobody will steal their Chex Mix, right? You try to hide it in something that looks kind of ordinary or bland, okay? But the point really isn't here that we're hiding it, but that what you're going to see is that this treasure really shines the most when it comes out of this little broken, cracked jar of clay. I want to tell you this morning that knowing Jesus and knowing the gospel is the treasure. The light of God's glorious gospel through Jesus that shines in our hearts is the treasure. This is the power of Christ displayed in the lives of believers And again, this morning we shared this in Sunday school a little bit, but you can see God's power in his provision. Has God ever met your needs? 100 times, 1,000 times, right? Right? You can see God's power in reconciliation. Has God ever allowed through his power of forgiveness to allow you to be brought back into a relationship that was broken? Yeah, I definitely have seen that. And then unbelievably, have you ever seen God's power in forgiveness? Have you ever seen someone who was sinful and distant and abrupt and angry, then the Lord's Spirit washed over them and they repented, and then all of a sudden they were forgiving and loving towards someone that before that they had shown great anger? That's unbelievable power. And I'm telling you, the Lord still does that today, people. When the treasure comes into the heart of a clay pot, then the treasure changes everything from the inside out. Now again, some ways, I hope you think this the right way, but in some ways it's a privilege to be inadequate and imperfect. God confounds the wise by working through the power, by working through the poor and the simple of this world. By using the imperfect, his all-surpassing power, his excellency of power is shown. When we're weak, the Lord can show his strength. When we're strong, then what usually gets shown? My strength, my ability, right? Boy, look at what he can do. Look at what she can do. Look at how impressive they are. But when we're weak, did you see what God did? Right? That's kind of the whole point of the message today, is that in this clay pot, this jar of clay, God can be made known. It's clear then where the power comes from and who deserves the glory. It is a way for God's name to be made known. So let me ask you this morning just a little bit, what reminds you of your clayness? You don't have to answer this out loud, but just think with me for a minute. What reminds you that you're clay? Maybe your body, right? Last week, we took a trip up to Ramsey Cascades. It was 4 miles, and it was 2,000 feet difference in elevation from the bottom to the top. So for some people, that's like, oh, that's not a big deal. For your preacher, are we ever going to get there? We got about 3/4 of the way, and this guy comes down the hill, and he goes, oh, the worst is yet to come. Like, oh, no, I don't know if I could do this, right? Okay. So doing that hike was a reminder of my clayness. Like, this body just gets a little harder, a little harder. You can talk to Brooklyn about her clayness if you want to sometimes. She had a hard time on the trip. What else reminds you of your clayness? Have you ever tried to fix somebody and you couldn't do that? Am I the only one that does that? I think I can fix these people. I remember the first time I went into the jail, I thought, I've got the answers. I know the word of God. I'm going to go in here and talk to these guys, and I'm going to straighten them all out. And I got in there, and the very first time, God showed me all of my arrogance and put me on my knees, and I realized how much I learned from a bunch of guys in jail. Okay? Sometimes things like that show us our clayness too, don't they, right? When we think we got all the answers, and we don't. Today, maybe it could be a relationship thing. It may just be a health thing. That's reminding you that you are a jar of clay. And what I want to try to encourage you today is that not to get too troubled that you're a clay, but watch for God at work through you despite your imperfections. God loves to take broken, worn-out clay pots and use them to pour out alabaster oil. He loves to do great things with people who are suffering. So where can we get some of this power to press on? Look down, if you would, there in verse 8, the power to keep on or to press on. How in the world was Paul and his compatriots working here in Corinth? How could they keep going? Look at how they describe their situation. Verse 8, he says to the church at Corinth, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we have not been abandoned. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us. but life is at work in you. Here's something I really want to try to carry the idea this morning on, is that, do you see Paul's love for other people here? Right. Sometimes as clay pots, when we're going through these struggles, it's easy for us just to see our own, focus on our own problems, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, I'm sure so-and-so has some issues, but look what I'm going through. Yeah, I feel bad for them, but do you know what I'm having to deal with? And what I want you to see here is how Paul, again, someone who is walking in the Spirit, he is looking at the needs of other people that he might bring them closer to Christ. And I want to challenge all of us today that in that, when we see our own suffering, can we look at the needs of other people? We might see a way where the Lord strengthens us as we help others who are in need. Now look how Paul kind of lays out the situation there. And he first says, we are hard pressed on every side. You ever been stressed out? What stresses you out? Well, that's kind of stressful. Bullets flying, okay. Anything else? What stresses you out? Job, yeah, just work. This week, I-Step starts. Oh, brother. I've got to try to make sure that 10,000, probably about 7,000 students can take this crazy test for about 2 weeks. What else stresses you out? Children, definitely your children. And what's interesting with your children is they kind of have little stresses when you're little, but as they get bigger, the stresses get bigger, right? Why is that, right? Ms. K. Yes, definitely. Relationships with other people. Is there any, are we about to have any conflict, or we have a difference of opinion or a difference of perspective? How am I going to approach the situation? Those can really make you sick, right? I'm going to pick on somebody here that's not here today, but just, this was kind of interesting. This week, we had to change staff passwords at two buildings. And one of my teacher friends just about passed out that her password was going to be changed. It's like, you must have a lot of other bigger problems going on if switching an 8-character password is going to make you just completely about pass out, right? Does that stress you out? Technology stress out anybody? Right? Some of us, right? Okay. That's like mechanical things stress me out. I'm glad Brother Todd was there yesterday so the preacher could keep his sanctification. Otherwise, I would have lost it. All right. Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side. You know some of the things Paul had been through, right? Paul had been beaten. He had been flogged 39 times. 3 times that happened to him where he was had a 39 lashes. He had been left for dead in one city. How would that be for you? That somebody stoned you so badly, they all thought you were dead and they left you, and then you actually really weren't dead. Right? He'd been without food. He had been without shelter. He had been shipwrecked. He'd been in numerous prisons. Do you think he had any stresses? Again, I want to challenge you this morning. I'm afraid, I think we're getting really good at this at our church, that we're kind of understanding this, and the Lord has really been pushing this on us lately. We don't need to put on some act about being a Christian, like everything is just okay. I think sometimes we think that, oh, you've got some real bad disease. Oh, but it's all okay, because I love the Lord. And we kind of make this fake face that, oh, it's all just fine, when inside it's just eating us up. Well, we saw on Wednesday, whenever Job, he lost everything. Like, he lost all of his wealth. His land was being raided. His kids were killed in a storm. And it doesn't say that, oh, he didn't go, well, everything's great, I love the Lord. It said he ripped his robe and he shaved his head. And then at the very end, it says that in all those things, he did not sin. You know what that tells me about us whenever bad things come our way? It's okay to grieve. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to admit, hey, I'm a jar, clay pot. I'm a jar of clay. And then trust in the Lord. All right? I want to challenge you that today. So he says, we are hard-pressed on every side. We were stressed out. But what does he say right after that? We were not crushed. We were not demolished. We are still going. That's kind of like me in Brooklyn last Saturday. We just kept those feet moving. It was killing us, but we didn't quit. All right. And Paul says, we have not quit. We're still going. Look at the next thing he says. We are perplexed. Any of you ever been confused about the Lord's will? Nobody? Like, Lord, why are you doing this? And why are you doing it now? And why are you doing it this way? Lord, I think we've got a pretty good little life over here in this little central or south central Illinois town. Everything is going good. Why do I feel like you're telling me to leave? I'm a little perplexed. Lord, this person was probably one of the most valuable people in our church. They were doing great things. Why did you allow them to have to go or get this disease? Why did you do that? Lord, why are my kids going this direction when I really think they should be going this direction? What's going on? Where's your hand at? Perplexed? Yeah. Paul was perplexed. All right, the guy that wrote most of the New Testament says, there are times I were confused, but now look what he says. He says, but we were not in what? Despair. What is despair? Despair is, I quit. I give up. There is nothing. I don't know what else to do. I just can't do anything. It's over. I'm in despair. Paul says, we were not in despair because he knew that ultimately the Lord was going to win the battle. And I remind you this morning, you are on the winning side if you're following the Lord. You know in the end, he's going to make these things right, even if it's difficult sometimes to work through. The next thing he says, we were persecuted, punished, afflicted for our faith. I want to tell you, this is one of the things that just has really kept me going this last year or two. When I have a really bad day, all I have to do is think about that Sunday school teacher in Syria, and my day is a whole lot brighter. You know what I'm talking about? All I have to do is think about that poor guy that they led down on the donkey down there in India, and they shaved off half of his head because he was a Christian. I haven't faced anything like that. I might have some people that mock me a little bit that I'm spiritual or that I'm a pastor or whatever, but even that's not very much. It's very minimal. And there are some people today that are facing incredible persecution for their faith. And look, even in this, Paul says, we were not abandoned. Can I encourage you today? If you're going through a hard time, and it may be a health struggle, it may be somebody is making fun of you because of your faith, it may be that you're perplexed about some situation that God has allowed you to be in, God has not abandoned you. What's the scripture say? He will never leave us or forsake us, right? Today, take heart that even if you feel like things are coming at you, you are not abandoned. And here Paul says, we were not abandoned. God is with us. And then finally, he says, we've been struck down. You ever been struck down? You ever tried to do something good only to get beaten down? Sometimes it's as simple as you got a good idea at work. I think this will really help some things. And then one of your coworkers or your boss says, oh, that'll never happen. It may be even the preacher at church sometimes. You're like, hey, this would be a really neat thing for us to do at church. The preacher says, we can't do that. It could be with your own family. I have this great idea for our family for this. I think it'll really encourage. No, that would never work. Ever been struck down like that? Now, here Paul is not just talking about being struck down verbally, but beaten down physically, even emotionally. They tried to shut them down. We don't want you talking these things here. We don't want you speaking these words around here. And yet, again, what does Paul say? They were not what? They were not destroyed. Can I encourage you this morning? This is really good if you'll hang on to this. You are in the Lord's hands, okay? And you could be in the middle of a Syrian missile attack. And if the Lord doesn't want you to die, are you going to die? You will not. You could be in the middle of the calmest small town in Indiana eating breakfast in the morning with your cup of coffee. And if it's your time to go, or is the Lord going to take you? Right? Okay? So we have got to trust in the Lord and recognize that if we do His will, we're not going to be destroyed. And the work that we do is going to be what He wants us to do. In His time, He will take care of those things. Paul says, we were struck down, but we were not destroyed. And then he says some things that are, I think, are hard for us to maybe identify with. He says we carry Jesus' death in our body. Most of us probably don't quite do that. Do you remember what they did with the Lord after Pilate pronounced the sentence on him? It says they led him away to be flogged. And we don't have any kids in here today. Just kind of let you some pictures of that. We believe it was with a cat of nine tails was the instrument that they used to flog the Lord. So basically it was this whip. And this whip had like 9 leather strands. And then they would tie into the strands of this whip glass and nails and rocks and sharp objects. They would put the victim, they would put them on a pole, and then they would throw the whip over the victim's back, and then they would pull up on that whip, and it would rip the back flesh of the victim. That's what our Lord endured as he was showing us that how much he loved us, right? Well, Paul, I don't know if it was with the cat of nine tails, but Paul had those same beatings. 3 times he was beat, he was flogged. And so if you were to go look on Paul's back and he was to pull his shirt up, what would you see? You would see physical scars, right? And he would say, I bear those marks in my body. Those are the marks of the death of Jesus. And they remind me about what is the most important, that Jesus' power raised him up from the dead, and that I come to you in Corinth to let you know that if you will believe in Christ, your sins can be forgiven, and you too, when all said and done, you can rise from the dead. Wow. That's a pretty powerful testimony, isn't it? Somebody came in and just lifted up their back there and you saw their scars, you would pretty much have to believe some of their message, right? I mean, that they believe their message, you would know it, wouldn't you? Paul says they carry Jesus' death in their body. Basically, they were willing to die that the life of Christ would be revealed in their mortality. Paul wasn't worried too often about what he was having for supper tonight or which TV show he's going to watch or if the Pacers were going to win on the weekend. Hello, this is more for the preacher probably as any of you. Do you hear what the Lord's saying? Paul was worried about some of the most important things, and that is people who were far from God could hear the gospel, no matter the cost. I want to challenge you today, okay? And again, I'm not trying to get into your pocketbook. The Lord lead all of that. In a couple weeks, we're going to do a world missions offering. And as Free Will Baptist, we have some people. There are people from many churches, many denominations doing great works. We have some people going all around the world who are sacrificing relationships with their families and their friends and material things so they can carry the gospel to people who can know about Jesus. And they need some help. Right? And I just want to challenge you today to pray, Lord, would you help me to give as you see to give? And maybe this is not the way he wants you to give. I don't know. But if he does, just be honest and open before him and give as he leads, right? Folks, we need to make sure we care about the most important things like the Lord does. Let the Lord prick and challenge our hearts today. Paul said, yes, death is working through us. Definitely it was. They could bear the scars of it. But life was working in the church at Corinth. This is hope, plain and simple. This is sure hope. They knew that treasure was going to show itself in these jars of clay. Sometimes we know that suffering is difficult, and yet we try to portray it that it's not going to be that hard. But it is anything but that. Again, as we've seen with the scriptures this week and as we saw on Wednesday night, what overwhelmed me Wednesday night was Job, after he tore his robe, after he shaved his head, the scripture says that he worshiped the Lord. That's hard for me. Is it for you? If I took away all of your material wealth today, your house burned down, your cars were wrecked, and then I took away any of your possessions and your bank accounts were hacked and you lost all the money in your bank account. And then I told you that your kids had been killed in a fire. Would you be able to worship the Lord? I don't know that I could. We read about Job. The scripture says that's what he did. Megan was really good to point out to us on Wednesday night. She said, well, the only way he could do that is because all along the way, he had been walking with the Lord. So when the bad times came, he could, not that he couldn't grieve, he did obviously grieve, but that he could still cling to the truth that God would make all things right, because every day before that, he had been trusting and fearing the Lord. I really encourage you all today, if you're going to work through your suffering, live every day for the Lord. All right, let's work towards this last idea here today. So we've talked about the clay pots, and we've seen that there is power to press on in the life of a believer, and the way that we can best do that is to fix our eyes on eternal things, not temporary. Fixing our eyes on the eternal. So look down, if you would, in verse 13. And here the scripture says, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." You remember Abraham? Forever, like he was 100 years old, his wife was 90, when he finally had the child that was promised to them, right? I mean, that's a long time to wait. And God did the miraculous. There's no way that a 90-year-old lady, even back in those days, should be having a baby. And Sarah has a little boy. They name him Isaac. You remember along the way, do you remember what happens, what God asked Abraham to do with his only son? God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the promised son. And so Abraham loads up this donkey and he takes his son Isaac and they take the wood and they take the fire, but they don't take anything to sacrifice. And Isaac notes that. "Dad, I see these things. I see the fire, I see the wood. Where's the ram?" And Abraham says, "God will provide a ram." Now, if you look in Hebrews in chapter 11, you would see that Abraham there, the scripture says about him, that he believed that if it was necessary, God would raise his son up from the dead because he knew God would honor his promises. Do you see here what Paul is saying to this church at Corinth? He says, hey, we can get beaten a little bit here. Hard to say it that way, isn't it? We can be persecuted, we can be mocked, we can be perplexed, we can be stressed out. We can have all this stuff come at us, but you know what we know? We know that the Lord that raised up the Lord Jesus, one day he's going to raise us up too, with you in his presence. Here's the big picture. If I have to lose some things now, I have to suffer some things now, it's okay. As Brother Michael kind of pointed out to us Wednesday night, if you guys have seen the Francis Chan little video, he has this big old rope kind of goes around the whole sanctuary. And at the very end of the rope, he has this little piece that's kind of taped up in red tape. And he goes, "This is your life on earth." And he goes, "There's the rest of your life." And sometimes we get so stressed out over this much, and we forget all of this. Paul and his friends here said, you know what? We know what the big picture is. We've seen Jesus. We know he's alive. And we know that if we have to suffer a little bit here now as we try to convey the gospel to you, in the end, it is completely worth it. We know that God will raise us up and present us with you in his presence. These things happen so that many people will benefit. Again, can you bear this with me a little bit today? I want to be very careful about here. I'm not hoping or wishing any suffering on any of you. But I'm going to tell you, if you will give your suffering to the Lord, he will use it for his glory and for other people to know him and to give thanks to him for his glory. Are you hearing the Lord today? One of the most faithful people I ever met in my whole life was Tom Johnson. He was this old coal miner in southern Illinois. And Tom Johnson had a big rock fall on a coal mine, and they went and found that he had severe lung cancer. They told him he had 6 months to live. And Tom Johnson said, "Whatever the Lord has in store is okay. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to praise him." And we had talked about putting up a cross on the outside of the building, I think for like 12 or 15 years, and nobody ever got it done. Tom Johnson got it done. We talked about fixing our roof on top of the church. Everybody else was like, "Oh, we'll never be able to. That roof is huge. We'll never be able to do that." Tom Johnson said, "We'll get it done." And we got it done. Tom Johnson's favorite song in church was "Living by Faith." And I've never seen anybody walk in the middle of suffering the way that this man did. And many people gave thanks to a great and glorious God, because that jar of clay let the Lord's treasure shine through him. That's all I'm asking us today, to try to trust the Lord in the midst of our suffering. Paul and his fellow laborers, to the people who will be changed, who will then reach other people who will be changed, so that thanksgiving would overflow to God's glory. This is that pattern. This is people sharing the gospel and more people growing in the gospel. So finally, look down in verse 16 here as we finish up. This is kind of the plan to get to the place where you can endure suffering. This is how Paul could be hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. This is how he did it. He says, verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart." Did you catch the we in that sentence? He didn't say, therefore, I do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. You know what really is powerful to me? When I see people who are suffering and going through a hard time come into this place or come in there on a Wednesday night and praise the Lord. I mean, you don't have to tell her. You can if you want, but don't tell her. But if Vicki McLean, after all she went through, can praise the Lord, then my afflictions are like this big compared to what she went through. Right? So I will not lose heart because I've seen God encourage her. Some of these older folks in our church are going through some pretty difficult physical things, right? And if they can keep coming and keep praising the Lord and keep trusting the Lord in the middle of all they're going through, my afflictions, they're kind of like that. I think I will not lose heart. Do you see how that by you showing your faith in the middle of suffering, you can encourage other people, right? Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. And look at it. He even notices it. He goes, outwardly, we are wasting away. Anybody here wasting away today? Just to be honest with you, preacher's having a hard time even reading the numbers of the verses on the paper here today. Because these eyes are getting old, right? Slowly wasting away. But what does Paul say about the inside? He goes, maybe I have been persecuted. Maybe I have had the floggings. Maybe I have been shipwrecked. Maybe I've been left for dead. On the outside, this body is wearing out. But on the inside, what's going on? I'm being renewed every day. How do you get renewed every day? Unless you spend time with the Savior, right? You guys, if you're going through a struggle, and I know a lot of you are here today, I'm begging you, spend some time with the Lord every day. Then He will renew you from the inside, even though everything on the outside is wearing out, all right? Spend time that way. Verse 17, and I still can't believe how he says this. He goes, for our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Would anybody here call flogging a light trouble? That's crazy, isn't it? How about being shipwrecked? You guys, I don't know if I shared this with you before. My dad and I one time went fishing on Lake Clinton. We're in this little aluminum boat, and we were coming back, and the water, the waves, it was raining and pouring rain, and I was driving the boat. And I tried to put the boat on the boat trailer, and when I pushed it up on the trailer, it got on there crooked, and it had been taking on water kind of all along the way. And my dad was so frustrated that the boat was on crooked. We can't leave this boat on crooked. Get out of the way. So I got off the boat, got onto the dock there. My dad backed up the boat, and as he's backing up the boat, the waters are just going over and over into the boat. And he keeps backing up, and finally he tries to turn it around. He pulls the plug because what you're supposed to do is let that water drain out if you can get the motor going. He came around the corner, and he looked like Yosemite Sam going down and down and down and down. Right. That was the only shipwreck I've been a part of. We drove home that day, and there was no boat on the trailer. It was at the bottom there of the lake. He did get it later, by the way. Shipwrecked. I want to tell you, it is not a light thing. We were just glad to be alive. Right? Have you ever been hungry? I don't mean like hungry like it's almost noon and you'd like to go eat your lunch today. I'm like, have you ever been hungry where you haven't been able to eat anything for 3 or 4 days or a week because you didn't have any food? Would you call that a light thing? And oh, by the way, one more thing that Paul talks about, he says about all these things, beyond all these things, he says, I have the care of the churches. Do you know what that means? I got Timothy over there, and he's fighting, but there are people over there that are trying to lead those people astray. And I got Titus over there, and he's working, but man, there's people over there trying to lead those people astray. And I got these people I've been praying for every day, and they don't seem to be honoring the Lord. They don't seem to be coming to Christ. Is this church going to even survive? Are the people over here, are they going to honor God? But he says, in comparison to an eternal glory, these things are but a light and a momentary affliction. One of my pastor friends, Rob Morgan, he calls it a pinprick. A paper cut. What? My suffering is a paper cut? Are you making light of it like that? What Paul's saying is, in comparison to being with Christ for eternity, to being in his presence with the people that you've helped come to know him, this is a pinprick. This is a paper cut. This is a light and a momentary affliction. And so what he can do to do that, look if you would with me. So he says, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So things may look bad on the outside, but what he's saying is, I'm going to put my eyes where they need to be. And that's the hardest part, looking for the invisible. What are you seeing today? It could be different things, right? In our own church here, we may be looking and seeing that, oh boy, there's a lot of people not here. We wish this place was filled up, and that can wear us out. Maybe when you go home today, you'll have to pull out some envelopes that have bills for the week. And that's what you see. Maybe you see a schedule or a calendar that, oh boy, you've got to go and be at this building. You've got to clean this place. You've got to fix this thing. You've got to work with this person who drives you crazy. That's what you see, right? If Paul were looking, what would he have seen directly? He would have seen people that were going to persecute him, people that were going to put him in jail. He would have seen people at church that, well, they just really didn't believe and they were giving up, right? He would have seen all those things. But he says, what we do is we don't fix our eyes on the things that are seen. We fix on what we know to be true, what we have faith in. And that is that Jesus died and rose again. And there's coming a day where that glory is going to outshine all glories. And it starts with this treasure being placed in this crazy jar pot so that it can be magnified rather than us. So today, all I want to encourage you with is as you face suffering, and you're going to face suffering if you're not already, try to let the Lord's glory shine through the struggle that you're going through. And I think you'll find that there's joy even in that. Let's stand this morning. Today I'm going to go play just a little bit at the piano and give you some time to pray. And I want to challenge you just a little bit to think about your own struggle. And this is okay. Right now there'll be times where you're going to need to look at other people's struggles and how you can serve them. But today, this morning, is a chance for you to be just a little bit selfish. So what is it that you are really struggling with? Is it a relationship? Is it money? Is it physical suffering? Is it emotional things? And I want you to take those before the Lord. And just like we said in our Sunday school class this morning, I want you to be just as open and honest before the Lord as you can. The psalmist this morning said, where are you, Lord? How long are you going to hide from me? And sometimes you might feel like that. And maybe you're wondering, Lord, why have you brought this stuff on me? Be honest before the Lord. And yet at the same time, trust him that he will give you answer and he will give you strength. All right? Let's just take a minute here today. I'll play a little bit of the piano. And you pray for yourself that the Lord would help you to fix your eyes on the things that are unseen, the things that are most significant.